Right. Just going back over the course of the past week, the data out of the United States was interesting in that it helped to confirm that the US is not close to recession. If anything, the data suggests there's still reasonably good growth and probably growth above long-term trend coming through. At the same time, the inflation data was at or a little bit below expectations, so it's still giving that leeway for the Fed to think about lowering the cash rate when it comes down to its next meeting in September. Looking first at the inflation readings that came out, we had both producer prices and the CPI came out for the month of July last week, and they were both on the low side of or at expectations. So, for example, the headline producer price index was expected to be up 0.2% month on month. It was up only 0.1%. So that brought the annual change there down to 2.2% from 2.7% year on year. But the all-important CPI for the month of July was at market expectations. It came in at 0.2% for the month. That's where the market expected. But that just edged down the annual rate of inflation to 2.9% from 3%. So heading in the right direction. And similarly so for the core CPI. That was also expected to be up 0.2. It was up by 0.2%, and that just edged down the annual rate of change in the CPI to 3.2 from 3.3. So, you know, that's coming in the right direction. Now, having said that, you know, when we're looking at one or two of the other indicators that came out, well, it was a bit of a mix, but key ones relating to aggregate demand in the U.S. economy are still looking pretty firm. But you know, we had retail sales for the month of July. They were a lot stronger than expected. They came in up 1% month on month. Market was looking for 0.4% there. And core retail sales, the market was looking for a 0.1% gain. That came in up 0.4%. You know, that really is a pretty strong start to Q3 and suggests that consumer spending in the US is still well and truly alive and will keep things going. It was reinforced a bit by the first look at the August Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. That came out on Friday. It wasn't a big rise, but it was better than the market expected. The previous month was 66.4 on the Consumer Sentiment Index. Market thought it might just edge up a little to 66.7. It went up to 67.8. So that one suggests that things are just looking a little bit more optimistic there as far as households are concerned. Having said that, you know, the housing part of the US still running some soft figures. Some of that's probably weather related because of all that hurricane activity and the flooding that's run through the US. Been much, much worse weather than normally occurs at this time. So yeah, we had things like July building permits and housing starts. They were both down respectively by 4% and 6.8% month on month. That was worse than expected. And the National Association of Home Builders Index for the month of August, that came in at 39, down from 41. So that one's looking fairly soft. But again, going to one of the really important indicators, which of course the labour market. The labour market's holding together in the US pretty well. We had the latest initial jobless claims, and they came down, and more than the market expected. They came down to 227,000 from 234,000 the previous month, the previous week, and remembering that before that, yeah, we were up near the 250,000 mark. So this suggests almost a second wind starting to run through the labour market, and it heralds probably rather better non-farm payrolls when they come out next month. So still some strength running through that item. So it's this strange mix in the US. The economy is still growing pretty well. Inflation's coming down, not dramatically, but it's edging down, and it's just giving that leeway there for the Fed to think about bringing interest rates down. Now, it can't bring them down very far whilst the economy is performing like this. So here we've got the Fed funds rate at 5.5, which is clearly very restrictive. It's got capacity to slowly bring that back a little, but not much. And so we still have market expectations in the US which are expecting too much in the way of monetary policy easing as we go further ahead. This week in the US, fairly quiet. You know, Wednesday we get the minutes of the last FOMC meeting. That one will. That was a meeting where press conference afterwards. We got the first admission, really, from Jerome Powell that they were in a position to think about lowering interest rates in September. So it will confirm that probably. We'll be watching initial jobless claims. They're out on Thursday, and they were 227,000, quite low last week, and see if they stay down reasonably well. We have some existing home sales data and new home sales data. That'll probably be a little bit better than the housing starts and the housing permits data that we saw last week. So they're expected to be flat to up around 2% for both of those readings. And then right at the end of the week and going into the weekend, it's the huge meeting of central bankers that happens every year up in Wyoming, up at Jackson Hole, the Jackson Hole Symposium. And obviously there's a lot of people giving some big keynote addresses there, including them, Jerome Powell. And it will be listened to greatly to see whether there's anything changed in the way that the Fed's really looking at the world. How wedded are they to getting inflation back to their 2% target? Is that target becoming a little bit more flexible? What are the things that are worrying the Fed? So it's going to be pretty important, some of the discussions that come up at Jackson Hole when we go Friday and beyond. Moving to China. China's economy is not going so well, and we saw it again with all the data points that came out last week. We had July fixed asset investment spending came down to 3.6% year on year from 3.9%. That was weaker than expected. July industrial production came down to 5.1 from 5.3. That was weaker than expected. Retail sales, well, they went up, but not much. Went to 2.7% year on year from 2%. That's nowhere near strong enough to get the economy to grow well. July house prices continues to go deeper and deeper below zero on a year on year basis. It was at minus 4.5% year on year going back to June. It's worsened to minus 4.9% year on year. Obviously, falling house prices are what's really sort of counting against consumers doing very much. We also had the July unemployment rate, and that went up. Rarely do you see an admission that the unemployment rate's going up in China. Went up from 5% to 5.2%. So their economy very, very soggy. We're waiting to see whether there's ever going to be any change from the administration there at the moment. They're wedded to this idea that we can beat everybody at high tech. We're going to put our attention there. But there's nothing in that which is really going to make the vast numbers of consumers in China feel any better about life. And so we're not seeing much change in policy towards them. This week, we get the People's Bank of China, their August meeting. Interest rates, they're edging them down. It'd be interesting to see where they do it again. They did bring them down slightly last month. It's at 3.85% there for the deposit rate, which is a very high real interest rate given that annual inflation is 0.4. So they'll probably edge that down, but it's not going to be the sort of policy action we need to really get the Chinese economy kick-started. And there were warnings out of China too about steel production there that's going to be pretty weak, and that has some knock-on effects really coming back to us here in Australia. Having said that, the data out of Australia last week was pretty firm. We had the July National NAB Business Conditions, Business Confidence, both still pretty good. Business conditions actually went up to plus 6 from plus 4. Business confidence came back a touch from plus 3 to plus 1, but still in positive territory. Westpac August consumer sentiment had a reasonable size rise, up 2.8% month on month. The index level is still very low, but it did rise. We had the second quarter wage price index. Wages are growing just a touch above where most of us would have thought in Q2. They're up 4.1% year on year. We thought 4%, and that compares with 4.1% year-on-year going back to the first quarter. So they're getting pretty stuck there, above the 4% mark. And then we had a truly stunning labor force report where for a second month in a row we had above 50,000 increase in employment. July employment lifted by 58,200. Full-time jobs lifted by 60,500. This is phenomenally strong and way stronger than the Reserve Bank was predicting even in its latest forecast. It only came out 2 weeks ago. They're way behind the mark in terms of the strength that's running through the labour market in these figures. That implies that they're still on a bias to have to revise everything up, because if you've got employment growing like this, it's growing 3.2% year on year. Reserve Bank thinks it should be growing at 2 at this time. It's way under forecast, the strength that's running through here. And so the net result is that, household income's growing faster. That's before you get into tax cuts. And so there's a real chance that demand's still going to be running well ahead of supply here in the Australian economy. And that's what's worrying the Reserve Bank at the moment. True, the unemployment rate went up one notch to 4.2% from 4.1%. But to put that into context, the participation rate is running at a record high, 67.1% in July, and that's lifted 0.5 of a percentage point over the course of this year. That's phenomenal. It suggests that people feel they can get into the labour market and get jobs, and they are getting jobs. But it'd be almost impossible to get them at the pace at which the participation rate's going up. So that's why that unemployment rate edged up. When it comes down to employment, in the last 6 months, we've added over 305,000 jobs. It's just massive. And so, that's obviously going to keep things ticking along here, even though people don't feel it that much. The RBA governor, when she was speaking to the parliamentary committee on Friday, just reinforcing that demand is running ahead of supply. There was a little bit of chatter around the government spending part of that. She's putting the blame for that mostly back to the states rather than the Commonwealth government, but still it's running too fast. And I can't see that she's going to be in a position to say anything else other than this for quite some time to come. She says 6 months, when employment's growing like this, it's going to take longer than 6 months. Before we can get to a point where interest rates can come down. So, the market's a bit at odds with that at the moment. It's got this fairy tale on its head that, things are coming off. Well, they're not coming off when you're putting on over 50,000 jobs a month. And so that's one of the conundrums we've got at the moment, where there still has to be some risks that there's going to be some corrections from time to time that run through thinking about interest rates, and it's too much in terms of too early and too much in terms of when interest rates can come down. So that has to have some consequences for bond yields at times looking ahead. Moving to this week, well, we get virtually nothing coming out this week. We've got to wait till next week, and then the key one, of course, will be the monthly CPI, but that's over a week away, so we'll talk about that one next week. Moving to Europe, and the data out of Europe, it's a bit of a mixed bag, but okay-ish. We had confirmation that Q2 GDP grew by 0.3% in the second quarter and was up 0.6% year-on-year. That was the same as the preliminary result, still going okay there. ZEW economic sentiment in August did come down quite a way to 17.9 from 43.7 the previous month. So people are getting a little bit more worried there. We had some industrial production data which was looking a bit flat. It was down 0.1% after being down 0.9% the month before. But the trade data out of Europe was looking pretty good. Their trade surplus has expanded to €22.3 billion for June from €14 billion the month before. So they're doing pretty well in terms of trade as a contributor to economic growth at the moment. We'll be interested to hear from Christine Lagarde, because she'll be talking at the at Jackson Hole. And the problem she's facing in Europe is wage settlements. We've had a fair bit of news on wage settlements recently at a place like Germany, still running well above 5%. And she's talked about tit for tat, where high inflation leads to high wages, leads to more high inflation. Yes, it's starting to worry, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, they're finding it very difficult to follow on from that first interest rate cut that they delivered going back a couple of months ago. Moving to Europe this week, we've got manufacturing and services sector PMIs coming out. Manufacturing PMI is below 50. It looks as if it'll come in below 46 for the most recent months, which is, you know, pretty much contractionary. But the services sector, still pretty firm. It's expected to improve to 52.2 from 51.9. So that's well and truly expanding, and has been remarked by many people. Europe is now very overloved by tourists from all areas, and yeah, that's what's keeping demand really kicking along there in Europe for the time being. So that renewal of people saying we can travel now and we're going to Europe is really hitting in terms of positive spending running through many of the European economies. So, you know, just watching where things are going through the course of this week. As far as, you know, risk assets are concerned, out of the US, obviously, we had, you know, sort of bumper rise again running through equity markets. It fed through to here last week. It's still probably in that sort of vein because the US at least, you know, can deliver a rate cut when it gets through to September. What it can do beyond then is a bit problematic. But if anything, the data is suggesting that the US economy is very resilient. And the data here is actually showing that it's pretty similar here too.